Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. The Godhead knew that Judah would be conquered in 587 BC, and they set up a secret countdown 10 years earlier to give the stiff-necked people of Judah time to repent from their rebellion. Ezekiel was a priest who was taken to Babylon at the same time as Daniel in 597. 5 years later, Jesus impressively arrived from heaven in a craft that contained a portable throne and was surrounded by a number of other craft manned by holy angels. The Son of God spoke to Ezekiel from a whirlwind and called him to be a watchman on the wall in the battle against Lucifer. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we're going to today talk about the prophet Ezekiel, how he was called in a whirlwind. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you that we can again look at the Word of God. And that, Lord, your word is not only history, but is just as much alive today as it was 2,600 years ago. And I pray, Father God, that today you will speak to us through the scriptures so that we will be able to have victory and we will be able to live in power in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn to your outline, I wrote this, a meeting in heaven. The Godhead paused the virtual time run after the captivity of King Jehoiachin. They realized that the free will of the Judeans had been used to corrupt themselves with the worship of Baal and veneration of the Queen of Heaven. The Godhead allowed King Nebuchadnezzar to capture Jerusalem and take the king, nobles, the brides and the youth, and a number of others to Babylon. The temple will be stripped of some of its fixtures, and this will be a shock treatment for the people of Judah, and that God had wanted the remainder to use their free will to return to the Lord. Let's turn here to 2 Kings chapter 24. There'll be 2 Kings. And we're going to turn to chapter 24. And we're going to read verses 8 through 16. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came out against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother, and his servants, and his princes, and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of reign. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold, which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem, all the princes, all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smith. None remained, save the poorest of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the might of the land, just carried into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, this is something that as I've been reading this, God showed to me. Why would God have Jerusalem attacked two times? Why didn't God simply, from the very beginning, say, well, I'm just going to take it out, I'm going to destroy it? And the reason is that there was a grace period. Judah got a grace period of 10 years. The Godhead then began to count unto giving the remaining Jews of the vassal king Zedekiah time to repent and return to the Lord. Two prophets would provide spiritual leadership to the Jews in Babylon, those left in Judah. Here's the thing now that I really wanted to catch. God didn't say to one of his prophets, thus says the Lord, I'll give you 10 years to repent. And if you miss that, then I will destroy Jerusalem. God does not tell you when he gives you a grace period. God did not want Judah to repent to save their lives. He wanted them to repent because they loved God. So let me run it through you again. The prophets did not know that there was a 10-year grace period. The devil didn't know that. And God simply said, I give you 10 years of grace. If you take it, I will not destroy Jerusalem. I will not have the temple destroyed. Jerusalem will be there. The temple will stay there. And the kingdom of Judah would have continued and been there when Jesus came back. It would have been a vassal state under the Greeks, later under the Romans. But the people and the leadership did not take it. In my outline here, I said this. Daniel was a teenager who rejected idolatry, was fully committed to God. You can read about that in Daniel 1, 3 through 8. Ezekiel was an older Levite who had been trained as a priest, and he too was completely, totally committed to the Lord. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. That's Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel is a prophet that most Christians don't talk about. And yet, he has the most profound prophetic insight and prophecies of all of them. In Ezekiel chapter 1, we read the first 3 verses here. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river of Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Because Ezekiel now dates it, we know that he got this vision, the first one, 5 years into the grace period. The grace period was 10 years. 5 years into it, God activated Ezekiel. The 10-year grace period was kept a secret from Lucifer and his minion, but also from God's prophets. The stiff-necked people that stayed true to their sinful rebellion, no matter how much the God had punished them, they more or less forced the Lord to humble them with the destruction of Jerusalem its hallowed temple. Zedekiah was blinded and forced march to Babylon with a large segment of the population. So, they used a 10-year grace period to sin the more and to simply ignore God. God allowed Ezekiel 5 years to speak to the nation. In America today, I believe that we got a grace period that we had of 49 years. The question now is, what are the state legislators going to do when it comes to abortion? Are we going away from the murder of children? Or will it increase? I believe that those states that are having a full-time abortion, and by the way, California, we are the worst of the worst. Democratic legislators, just a few weeks ago, passed a law stating that you can do abortion on a baby all the way up to the time that the woman gives birth. In other words, if the woman is giving birth and decides at that moment, I don't want the child, the doctor will oblige. He will take the baby out. It's a live baby. There's no problems. And he will cut the throat of that baby. He will murder without hesitation. Now, if a mother gives birth to a baby and decides to keep the baby, but the next day after the birth, she decides, oh, I don't want this baby, and she kills it, she's not charged with murder. You can see the lunacy of this. So, Judah had a chance to repent. We now have a chance to repent. And the question is, we don't have any major prophets in the United States or the world today. But we have preachers, evangelists. The question is, will we sound the trumpet? Will we warn people? Let's go back to the outline now. Let's talk about the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel was activated 5 years later after he had gone to Babylon as a prophet. And no other man received special treatment such as seeing angelic craft coming down from heaven, surrounded and by other craft which contained the portable throne of Jesus. Here's what I want you to see. He was sitting there at Chebar. He got a vision. He saw a whirlwind. And suddenly out of the whirlwind, he probably saw a number of different craft. These were spaceships that had come down from the city of God in heaven. And in the midst of them was a very special spaceship which had the portable throne of Jesus in it. Just like we have in the United States, you have Air Force One. A president would get in and he would fly to different countries. He has a portable office. Jesus came down. He wanted to impress Ezekiel and say, Ezekiel, pay attention. This is me, God. Ezekiel had seen birds, but he had never seen anything like this. He didn't know what electricity was. Airplanes, engines, and rockets had not been yet discovered by humanity. He tried to describe what he saw to the best of his ability. because he realized these craft were from the spirit world. Let's read from verse number 4 in Ezekiel chapter 1. Now, a lot of people, probably most Christians, they read Ezekiel, they read the first three chapters, and it says, oh man, you know, this is just, you know, googly, 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 whatever it is. But let's look upon it and see it. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof is a color of amber, out of the midst of fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this is their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Everyone had four faces. Everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. The sole of their feet was like the sole of calf foot. They sparkled like the color of a burnished brass. And they had hands of man under their wings on their four sides. And the four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went, everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side. The four had the face of an ox on the left side. The four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whither their spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. And as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire came forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth, by the living creature with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their works were like unto the color of a barrel, and the four had one likeness. And there appeared, and their work was as was a wheel in the middle of a wheel. They went up on the four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And the rings were full of ice round about. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. When the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels went lifted up. And then, if we go down here to verse number 22, and the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was of the color of terrible crystal, stretched forth over their heads above. Verse 24, and when he went, I heard a noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, with other words, an incredible noise, as the voice of Almighty, the voice of a speech, and the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, when they stood, and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was a likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the stone was a likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. That was Jesus. And I saw as a color of amber the appearance of fire run about within, from the appearance of his loins even upward, from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and had a brightness run about it. And the appearance of the bow that is in a cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Picture a person, let's say from Amazon jungle. He doesn't know how to read or write. He's never been out of the jungle. He doesn't know what an airplane is. He never seen any gadget of electricity. Picture him, if we take him and blindfold him, and we take this guy to an airport in the United States, and then we take the blindfold off, and we let this guy stand there and see airplanes land. They can be noisy when they land and take off. He would simply say, "What? What is this? I never seen anything like it. I can't explain it. It's beyond my comprehension. This item is flying, coming down, landing, got wings. Wings are put out. I believe that God simply wanted Ezekiel to be impressed. He wanted to write it down in such a way that we would have it today, 2,550 years later. Most Christians just glance over that chapter. But that was Jesus coming down from heaven. If you now go to chapter 2, Jesus told Ezekiel that he was to go to rebellious people of Judah and give them a warning of pending judgment. Let's say that this would have been you. And you would have simply said, "Wow, whoo, what is this?" And then Jesus spoke, "Son of man, stand upon your feet, I will speak to you." And the Spirit entered me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake. He was out of power. And he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their father have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are prudent children and stiff-necked. I do send you unto them, and they shall say, and you shall say unto them, Thus says the Lord God. And they, whether they hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall you know that there has been a prophet among them." You and I are sent to people around us that don't like God. They mock us as Christians. And God is simply saying, "I don't care. I want you to speak because I want them to know there's been a prophet among them." They had the word. "And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, need to be afraid of their words. Through briars and thorns be with you. And you do well among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor dismayed of their looks, though they be a rebellious house." That's what God is telling you and me today. Don't be afraid of the mob. Don't back down. "And you shall speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I said to you. Be not you rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat that I give you." Christians, do not be rebellious. Do not back down. Simply say, "Thus says the Lord." And now, Jesus said, "Here, now I'm going to test you. Be not rebellious. I'm going to give you this scroll. Eat it. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book or scroll was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentation and mourning and woe. We move into chapter 3 now. Moreover, Jesus said, Son of man, eat that you find this. Eat this roll and go and speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause your belly to eat. Fill your mouth with the roll that I give you. Then did I eat it. It was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. God is speaking to you and me over the years. He's not giving us scrolls to eat, but he's giving us instructions. And he's simply telling us, I want you to do this. I want you to do that project. I want you to move in this direction. And so the key is, do not be rebellious, but simply do what God tells you to do. Are you obedient? Are you doing what God wants you to do? If we now move to, let's continue here to in chapter 3 here, and I want to go up to verse 12 through 15 here. And he said to me, Son of man, go get you unto the house of Israel. Speak my words unto them. For you are not sent to a people of a strange speech and hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words you can understand. Surely have I sent you to them, that they would have hearkened unto you. But the house of Israel would not hearken unto you, for they would not hearken unto me. That means they would not listen to me. For the house of Israel are imprudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, your forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made your forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, for they be rebellious house. Moreover said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto you receive in your heart, and hear with your ears. And go get to them of the captivity unto the children of your people, and speak unto them and tell them, Thus is the Lord God, whether I will hear or whether I will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice, a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. I heard also the noise of wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over them, and the noise of great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up, took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. He was put in that craft where Jesus had his throne. They flew him to the village of Tel Abib. Verse 15. Then it came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river of Chebar. And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. So for 7 days, he'd been parked. Ezekiel didn't talk. He was probably awestruck, shocked, beyond capacity. Let me try to illustrate that for you. Let's say that you were, one night, you wake up. There's a light shining in your room. And suddenly you see angels. They pick you up. They take you through the wall. There's a craft outside. They put you in the craft. before you know it, you are in heaven, standing before the throne of God, as bright can be. And you're given these words, I called you to be a prophet. Go and tell the people of your nation. You will be shocked. Then they will bring you back. I don't think that you would talk for a little while. You get back in your bed. And in the morning, your wife, children, if you're married, would simply say, what's wrong with you? I'm not speaking. 7 days. Why did God do this? Because he didn't do it to Daniel. He didn't do it to any other prophet. He did this because Ezekiel had the most difficult job in front of him. You and I are going to move into the tribulation, the time of the Antichrist. We're going to be different people. The people before us, the Christians, they didn't have to worry about the Antichrist. But we're going to come into a period where the Antichrist is going to be here. There's going to be threats. There's going to be all kind of things. And we need to have a sure calling that we, just like Ezekiel, would not be afraid. And then I want you to read from verse number 17, where he got a formal calling. Son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from the wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man does not turn from his righteousness, and commit iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. His righteous, what he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood will have required at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he has warned. Also you have delivered your soul. Now, this is known as the curse of not warning people when they sin. Does a Christian church take that and understand that this is serious? And the answer is no. Most churches, they never even touch this. But God said, you're a watchman, Ezekiel. And if you do not warn them, and they die in their sins, I will require the blood out of you. There is probably a lot of Christians that are cursed. They do not even know it. What is a curse? The absence of a blessing from God. Because there have been times in their lives where they were, let's say, at the service station, and a man opened up, talked to them. There was an opportunity to witness, and they simply said, no, I don't have time. And they walked away. It might have been a family member is living in sin, and you know they're living in sin, but you says, well, you know, it's not my business. I don't want to create waves in the family, so I'm not going to say anything. You're going to be held accountable. This is serious. Jesus said to Ezekiel, if you don't warn them, you will pay for it. I think when many people come up to the judgment seat of Christ, they think, you know, well, I'm pretty good. I didn't drink, you know, I didn't fornicate. I didn't commit adultery, you know, I didn't cuss, you know. I lived a pretty clean life. I was in church all the time. And then when Jesus called you up, and he got a list this long, and saying, this is what I have against you. This person you didn't witness to. This person you didn't witness to. This person you didn't speak to. And we're going to stand there and say, oh, my God. Oh. And then he's going to say, did you read Ezekiel chapter 3? Oh, yeah. I read the whole Bible, you know. Did you pay attention to it? No, we thought that was the Old Testament. You know, it didn't apply to us. Jesus is going to say it could apply. There's going to be payments that are coming up for you. You know what? We need to be serious about a Christian life. The Christian life is not just, you know, that we are praising God, we are saved, you know, we're sliding here, I want to make money, I want to have a nice life, and so on. No, the Christian life is serious. In verse 22 now, up to 23, we read this. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said to me, arise, go forth in the plain, and I will talk with you. Then I rose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, and the glory of the soul by the river of Chebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet, and spake with me and said to me, go shut yourself within your house. He said, now, go to your house, close the door. And now if you look at verse number 25. But you, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon you, shall bind you with them. You shall not go out among them. I will make your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth, that you shall be dumb. You shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak unto you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say unto them, thus is the Lord God. He that hears, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him that forbeareth, for their rebellious house. Look in this verse now. Who's going to bind Ezekiel? God's angels. Next week, we're going to get into what's happening in this hardening process. He was told to lay for X number of days on one side, and he couldn't move. Now, you and I know this, when we sleep a little bit on our back, we go on our side, we go on this side, sometimes we go on the front or the belly. But, you know, if you are in a position, particularly if you're broken a bone and you have to stay in a certain position, but to lay on the side for a number of days, and you can't move. Let's read it again. Verse 25. But you, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon you. They shall bind you with them, and you shall not go out among them. Ezekiel was going to be toughened up. He had to suffer like no other prophet had suffered before. Let me go to my summary right now. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 10. That's Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse number 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I've not come to send peace, but a sword. If I'm come to set a man's vermin against his father, and a daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they at their own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Look at the key verse here. And he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. Have you picked up your cross? Are you carrying the cross that God has assigned to you? Are you in God's will? Let me read a summary here that I have on my outline. The God that knew that there were 5 years remaining in the grace period, they wanted a prophet that was fiercely loyal to them, absolutely fearless. This type of a combat training is not joyous, but painful and hard to endure. The end result is a prophet that no man or devil can intimidate. It comes at the steep cost that few Christians are willing to pay. You that are alive today, I'm speaking to, you're going to be prophets. You're going to be prophetesses as we're moving into the time of the Antichrist. That might be 10 years down the road, 15 years, 5 years, we don't know, 50 years. But some of you that are alive here today, watching me, are going to be in that period. God now is allowing you to go through different difficulties. There are challenges in your life. It can be financial challenges. It can be challenges in your marriage. It can be challenges with your family, extended family. It can be loss of a job. It can be a number of things. Loss of health. It can be that you simply are laid up for some time. And the question is, how are you going to use that? I was laid up for 6 weeks. Most of my life I've been very healthy. And I really hasn't been down that much. I had a few things here and there. But this time, I was like a baby. Could barely walk. Didn't have too much balance. Wobbly. Couldn't think. And I was just saying, what's going on? I said, God, you're the healer. By your stripes, I'm healed. It's been a slow process. It's been about 7 or 8 weeks. Today is the best day I've had since I got sick back in May. I knew today I was going to be able to preach. Last week, I was not sure. So here's what God is speaking to you. The difficulty you're going through, if it is with family, business, finances, relationships, God is simply saying this. I have placed this in front of you. I don't want you to go around it. I want you to go through it. I want you to deal with it. Forgive. Release. And simply, if people shine you off, you simply say, okay, fine. You're gone. But at least I have dealt with it. Embrace the difficulty. And simply say, God, toughen me up. Help me not to be run by my emotions. Because the emotions are going up and down like a yo-yo. Help me to be the man of God, to be the woman of God that you want me to be. This is what God is calling us for today. And this is the introduction here to the prophet Ezekiel. And we're going to learn how he fared. and how he had to suffer. But after that, he gave prophetic words for nations around him at that particular time. But Ezekiel is the only prophet that was given a prophecy about the thousand-year kingdom and the last war that will happen. It's an exciting book because it simply shows us God working with a man that is totally committed. Now, if you watch me today and you're simply saying this, I'm not even a Christian. I don't know why I turned into this webcast or somebody told me to turn into it. You have the opportunity today to be saved. You can today simply say this, God, I'm a sinner. I know I haven't lived right. I need to be saved. I really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, he rose on the third day, he paid for my sins on the cross. I believe that. And then simply said, Jesus, come on into my life, forgive me, cleanse me, save me, and Jesus will. I say this every Sunday. And then, when we finish here, when you will find that the screen will change, you see three crosses coming up, you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend, and he will speak to you for about 10 minutes. He would show you what salvation is, how to be saved, and how to pray. Please do that. And if you do that, will you contact us and say, I gave my life to Christ today, and I want to confess it, and we will pray with you, rejoice with you, and minister to you. Now, to those of you that are walking with the Lord, that are simply saved, some of you, as I said, you're way up here, and some of you are sitting down here. There's a sliding scale on that. But I want you to think here, man, we are getting into the time of the Antichrist. It's going to be bad. I need to be toughened up. Go on your knees this afternoon. Read through the scriptures again that we did here today. And then say, God, show me what I need to do to be the man or the woman of God that you want me to be. And he will. I pray that you will excel in the kingdom of God, not fade away. God bless you. Here's Pastor Charles.
Reminded of the prophet Isaiah when he was called, and God said, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Father God, it's a powerful thing to hear the voice of God. When you speak to us, when your Holy Spirit is present with us. Father God, we thank you for the ability to hear, giving us ears to hear. And for those who don't know what the Holy Spirit sounds like, Father God, I ask that you would change that. Speak to them directly, that they would know that there is a living God that exists in this universe, and that he loves us greatly, and he wants to be a part of our lives. And he chooses to work through the weaknesses of humanity, all our faults, and yet he still loves us and wants to work with us. Help us, Father God, to, if we're walking with you, to just continue, that we would not be discouraged about events that we see in this world, but that we would be strong. We would rise up. Now is the time to be able to let our light shine forth. As it says in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Help us, Father God, to be salt. Help us to be light in this world. Help us to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God.
As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 71st part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, Called from the Whirlwind. The Godhead knew that Judah would be conquered in 587 BC and set up a secret countdown 10 years earlier to give the stiff-necked people of Judah time to repent. Ezekiel was a priest who was taken to Babylon at the same time as Daniel in 597. No other prophet comes close to the glory revealed when Jesus arrived from heaven 5 years later in a craft that contained a portable throne and was surrounded by a number of other craft manned by holy angels. Jesus wanted Ezekiel to know that the spirit world is real, heaven is real, and that the Godhead is breathtakingly omnipotent with power that is beyond human understanding. The Son of God spoke to Ezekiel from a whirlwind and called him to be a watchman on the wall. Ezekiel was put through a hardening process because the Godhead wanted a man that would be fiercely loyal to them and fearless in the battle against Lucifer during the 5 remaining years before Jerusalem fell in 587 BC. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1866. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.